Well, Merry Christmas to everybody. Today we're going to read a little bit from the Christmas story. There's, you know, two stories in the Bible. One is from Luke, the actual birth of Jesus, and Matthew talks about the wise men. And we're going to read that Matthew section. So let me just read it to you once again. We're going to focus today on the wise men and King Herod. So that's kind of where we're going. But let me just read it to you. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who was born king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose ahead of them, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. And they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said. "Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and his vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. "A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more." After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who were trying to take the child's life are dead." So he got up and took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee and went to live in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets, that he would be called a Nazarene. So there you have the story of the wise men and their interaction with King Herod. I want to try to kind of do two different things today. I want to give you a little historical teaching on Herod, because he's kind of a confusing character. You see this guy really, or his name, all through the New Testament, and it can be kind of confusing, wondering, is this the same Herod as we're talking about here? Let me read you a couple of other passages that specifically make reference to Herod. The next one is in Matthew 14. It says there, "At that time Herod, the tetrarch, heard the reports about Jesus, and he said to his attendants, 'This is John the Baptist. He has risen from the dead. This is why miraculous powers are at work in him.' Now Herod had arrested John and bound him and put him in prison because of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife. For John had been saying to him, 'It is not lawful for you to have her.' Herod wanted to kill John, but he was afraid of the people because they considered John a prophet. On Herod's birthday, the daughter of Herodias danced for the guests and pleased Herod so much that he promised with an oath to give her whatever she asked for. Prompted by her mother, she said, 'Give me here on a platter the head of John the Baptist. Again, Herod. Another Herod, Acts chapter 12. It was about this time that King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. He had James, the brother of John, put to death with a sword. When he saw that this met with approval among the Jews, he proceeded to seize Peter also. This happened during the festival of unleavened bread. After arresting him, he put him in prison, handing him over to be guarded by four squads of four soldiers each. Herod intended to bring him out for the public trial after the Passover. So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. And the night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. And, of course, we know the story of the chains falling off of Peter's hands and him walking out, thinking it himself it was even a dream. And then the final passage I want to read to you is in later on in Acts chapter 25. This is Paul when he was transported to Caesarea after he had been arrested in Jerusalem. And he's making his defense to Festus, who was the ruler of that town there. Paul made his defense, "I have done nothing wrong against the Jewish law or against the temple or against Caesar." Festus, wishing to do the Jews a favor, said to Paul, "Are you willing to go up to Jerusalem and stand trial before me there on these charges?" Paul answered, "I am now standing before Caesar's court where I ought to be tried, and I've done nothing wrong to the Jews, as you yourself know very well. If, however, I'm guilty of doing anything deserving death, I do not refuse to die. But the charges brought against me by these Jews are not true, and no one has the right to hand them over to me. I appeal to Caesar." After Festus had conferred with his council, he declared, "You have appealed to Caesar. To Caesar you will go." A few days later, King Agrippa. Some of your Bibles might say Herod or Herod Agrippa. This is another Herod. Said to Festus, "I would like to hear this man myself." He replied, "Tomorrow you will hear him." And I've skipped down a few verses. The next day, Herod Agrippa and Bernice came with great pomp and entered the audience room with the high-ranking military officials and the prominent men of the city. And at the command of Festus, Paul was brought in. Skip a few more verses. At this point, and Paul made his defense. At this point, Festus interrupted Paul's defense. "You are out of your mind, Paul," he shouted. "Your great learning is driving you insane." "I'm not insane, most excellent Festus," Paul replied. "What I'm saying is true and reasonable. This is from the king talking about Herod is familiar with these things, and I can speak freely to him. I am convinced that none of this has escaped his notice, because it was not done in a corner. King Herod Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know you do." Then Agrippa said to Paul, "Do you think that in such a short time you can persuade me to be a Christian?" Paul replied, "Short time or long, I pray to God that not only you, but all who are listening to me today may become what I am, except for these chains." So you have four different passages of Scripture, each mentioning a man by the name of Herod. And it can get confusing as you're reading through the Scriptures and you wonder, if this isn't the same guy, why does he have the same name? And what I want to do today is make a really simple kind of chart for you so you have an understanding when you do read through the Bible and you read about all these different Herods, they fit. So it makes the Bible more understandable to you, and it also makes it fit hand in glove with history as is recorded outside of the Bible. There's a lot of historians who recorded the history of the Roman Empire at that time, and if you have this knowledge, it will all fit together and you'll understand it. So I'm going to take these four passages of Scripture, and actually, although each one is mentioned as Herod, it's four different Herods. And that's how it can get confusing. The first Herod that we read about in the Christmas story, the story with the wise men, he is commonly known as Herod the Great. Let me tell you a little bit about Herod the Great. He was born, ruled, I don't know, I think he was born about 60 AD, but he actually ruled between 37 BC, I said 67 AD, 67 BC, ruled 37 to about 4 BC, according to secular history. He called himself the king of the Jews. Now, that was interesting because King Herod, or Herod the Great, wasn't really a Jew himself. He was what we would call an Edomite. His parents were Edomites. They were descendants of Esau, Jacob and Esau. But his parents converted to Judaism, and so he was raised as a Jew, even though he wasn't a Jew. He was familiar with all of the Jewish customs, the Jewish laws, the sacrificial system. He was very familiar with it because he was raised as a Jew. Now, some of the things he did, Herod was a man who liked to leave an imprint on society. And what he liked to do was build great buildings. And he built all sorts of buildings at that time. And he is the one who restored the temple. You may remember when the temple was destroyed by the Babylonians, and then the Jews were eventually sent back to Israel, and they were allowed to rebuild the temple. That temple was called Zerubbabel's temple. He was the king of the Jews at the time, even though they were under the rule of the Babylonians. Well, by the time King Herod came along, he looked at this temple that Zerubbabel had built, and he said, "This is not magnificent enough." So he added on to the temple, and it became known as King Herod's temple, even though it was the same temple that Zerubbabel built. So it was the second temple. It's, of course, been destroyed. But what King Herod did was he made it such a magnificent, huge structure that the foundation upon which he built it wouldn't support the temple. It was that big because it was up on kind of on the mountain, and the sides were kind of starting to crumble as a result of the weight on top of the mountain. So he built these four walls, supporting walls, around the Temple Mount, and that gave strength to the Temple Mount to hold this new temple. Now, the remnants of these walls, or at least one of the four walls, is still there today, and it's called the Western Wall. So when you see on TV, you see the Jews who are praying at the wall, and they're sliding their little prayers in between the crack. That is called the Western Wall, and that was built by the same King Herod we're talking about. It was originally built to support the temple. So he's left his mark. He still has other construction projects that he built that are still around today. But as far as his personal life, he was messed up. He was really, really a bad character. He had two big problems. One was he was paranoid, and two, he was insecure. Now, paranoid to the extent that he thought everybody was out to get him. And he was so paranoid that he murdered lots of people who were very close to him. He murdered one of his wives. He murdered three of his sons. He murdered, I don't know how many, other close relatives. But it became known at that time that you didn't want to get too close to Herod because he would get paranoid. He would think you were trying to take over his kingdom and you would wind up literally getting the axe. So Herod would kill people close to him, officials, everybody. So people always kind of kept their distance from Herod. There was a saying that went around at that time that it was safer to be Herod's dog than to be his relative, because you had a longer lifespan if you were his dog. So that's just the way people viewed King Herod. That was the paranoid part. The other thing was he was very insecure. He just didn't think people liked him. So he would be doing things all the time to try to get people to like him, such as building the temple. He thought that would make the Jews think fondly of him if he made this elaborate temple structure, and other things that he did. But he was so insecure that he had 2,000 guards, bodyguards, around him at all times, because he didn't know who would be trying to kill him. So he had this elaborate system of bodyguards that traveled with him all the time. And the other thing that he did, which was kind of funny if you look back at it in hindsight, as he was getting older and knew that he was going to be dying pretty soon, he didn't think people liked him. And he wanted to have this nice, elaborate funeral and to be sent off, you know, with style and dignity. And he didn't think the people would miss him that much. He didn't think there would be crying and wailing at his funeral, and he wanted that. So he put out an order that all of his high officials, those closest to him, on the day of his death, they would be executed. That way, he was assured that there would be lots of wailing and lots of sadness at the funeral. He didn't think that people would be sad for him, but he knew that if enough people died around him, it would be a grand wake, and everybody would send him off. So he made this law that when I die, and he named all these officials, you're all going to be executed at the time. Well, he died. But for some reason, the officials found a loophole in that law, and it was never carried out. They realized, hey, we don't have to be worried about this guy anymore. So they just basically ignored the law. But that was King Herod. That was the kind of guy he was. And that explains why, when the wise men said, we have come here to worship the king, the Messiah, that explains why he was so paranoid over Jesus. For two reasons. Number one, he had the Jewish background. He knew about the prophecies about the Messiah. It was very real to him. He wasn't somebody outside of the Jewish culture that said, oh, that's a bunch of Jewish superstition, it'll never happen. No, he knew it. He believed it. And secondly, because of his paranoia, he thought this may be the military Jewish king that someday is going to cut my head off. So I'm going to get rid of this guy while he's still a little baby. So that explains to you why Herod did what he did, why he tried to have Jesus murdered at an early age. So there's the first Herod, Herod the Great. Remember, they all have a kind of a slightly different second name, which will help you separate them. Herod the Great had several wives, a bunch of children. They didn't even count the female children. He had so many of them. But when he died, in his will, he said he wanted three of his sons to rule over the area that he ruled over. And so we read about the second Herod here. This was the one who was called Herod the Tetrarch. Tetrarch means a ruler of one-fourth of the kingdom. So this is the one that had his conflicts with John the Baptist. So this is the son of Herod the Great. It's good to keep these straight in your mind. Herod the Tetrarch is the son of Herod the Great. He had several brothers, but two of them ruled with him in the same area that his father ruled in. And they are Philip and Archelaus. Now, we know about Archelaus. His name is mentioned one time in the Bible, and we just read about it. God told Joseph and Mary, when you go back to Israel, don't go back to the southern kingdom where you were from. Remember, he was born in Bethlehem. That's down by Jerusalem, down in Judea. You go back up to the north, he said, because Archelaus is ruling in the south. He's ruling in the area that you would have normally gone to. And apparently, we don't know this, but it's safe speculation, he, like his father, was paranoid and would have still searched for Jesus to have Jesus killed if he ever heard a rumor or any kind of a hint that this Messiah was in his area, and God knew that. So he said, you go up to the area up north where Herod the Tetrarch is, Archelaus' brother, and you'll be safe up there. So off he went up to the north area. Now, again, as you know from the passage we just read in Matthew, Herod the Tetrarch also had this conflict with John the Baptist. And the basis of the conflict deals with the third brother, Philip. I'm going to try to keep repeating this so you keep them straight in your mind. You have Herod the Tetrarch, you have Archelaus, the mean older brother, and then you have King Philip, who apparently was a weaker of the three because he had the smallest part of Israel to rule. And this Herod Antipas, or Herod the Tetrarch, he liked Philip's wife. Her name was Herodias. So he stole Philip's wife and took him as his wife. That's why John the Baptist got so upset with him. He said, you know, you are the ruler of the Jews and you are violating a very basic Jewish custom. And that is, you don't marry your brother's wife while your brother's still alive. It would have been okay if his brother had died. So that developed all of that conflict, which resulted in the death of John the Baptist. And when Jesus came on the scene as an adult now, and people start talking about him, this started worrying Herod the Tetrarch, the son of Herod the Great, saying, wait a minute, I thought I took care of all this problem when I killed John the Baptist. Who is this other fellow? And he starts investigating the claims of Jesus. This is also the same Herod that when Jesus was arrested by the Jews, taken to Pilate, Pilate said, hey, guess what? There is the governor of the north is down here in the south at this time. His name is Herod, the same Herod the Tetrarch. And he said, I'm going to allow Herod to come in and also sit in on judgment of Jesus. So this is the same guy. He judged John the Baptist and had him executed. And he was judging Jesus too. Now, he was such a weak person. All he really wanted to do when he saw Jesus, he wanted to see a magic show. He wanted to see a miracle. He said, I want to go see this Jesus and see if he can perform some kind of miracle for me. So he was a very worldly person, but that was the second Herod. He was the son of Herod the Great, Herod the Tetrarch. The third one was Herod Agrippa. This is the one that had James, the brother of John, the disciple, put to death. We read about this earlier. He arrested him, and he was going to have Peter put to death too. This is the guy, Herod Agrippa. This is the guy that when he presented himself to the people, and the people said, these are not the words of a man, these are the words of a God. And he accepted the worship of the people. And the Bible says that when he did that, he was immediately struck down, and his body, this is, I have trouble even envisioning this, but his body was consumed by worms. And somehow or another, he died on the spot, and I guess the worms came out, otherwise I don't know how they would have known that there were worms to begin with, but he died this horrible death of just being eaten alive by these worms. It seems to be almost instantaneously. So that is the third Herod, Herod Agrippa. So you have Herod the Great, Herod the Tetrarch, and now Herod Agrippa, the third one, he is the grandson. So we have all these four generations are lining up. He's the grandson of Herod the Great. Now, his father was a different person. His father was a fellow by the name of Aristobulus. And he is one of the sons of Herod the Great, who Herod murdered. So Herod the Great murdered the father, and then the Roman Senate, perhaps because they felt sorry for Herod Agrippa's dad being murdered, they appointed him to be the ruler at his time. So this is the Herod Agrippa. He's the one that had James executed. And he's the one that died this horrible death. By the way, history tells us, the Bible doesn't tell us, but history tells us, going back to Grandpa now, Herod the Great, he died the same exact death that Herod Agrippa died. He was infected in some kind of worms, and he died this horrible death. So there's the three generations, but there is one more generation, a fourth generation, Herod Agrippa the Second. This is the son of the guy we just read about, the guy who died from the worms. He is the one who is called in the Bible, not Festus, but Agrippa, King Agrippa. This is Herod Agrippa the Second. He is the one who came in and listened to Paul's defense of Jesus Christ, and he's the one that Paul tried to share his faith with in hopes that this fella would become a Christian. And it's interesting when we read the the last couple of verses of Paul's sermon again, he says this question. He asks this question to King Agrippa. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? And then he says, I know you do. How does Paul know that King Agrippa, Herod, knew the prophets? Because Paul knew the history that I've just told you. Paul would have known Herod's father. He would have known his grandfather. And he would have known his great-grandfather. And he would have known that King Herod the Great was raised as a Jew, that he was very familiar with the Jewish principles, the Jewish prophets, the prophecies, the customs. So he would have known that that would have been handed down to King Agrippa II. Therefore, he says, do you believe in the prophets? I know you do. I know your history. I know your family. I know that you may not be a believer, but you are knowledgeable about the customs and the history of the Jews. Of course, Agrippa says, do you think in such a short time you can persuade me to be a Christian? Paul says, short or long, I pray that you are everything I am, except for these chains. So there's your four kings. Herod the Great, who tried to kill Jesus as a baby. Then you have Herod the Tetrarch, or sometimes he's called Herod Antipas. He's the one that ruled during most of Jesus' life. Herod Agrippa, he's the one who killed the disciple, James. And then Herod Agrippa II, he's the one that judged Paul. So with that kind of outline, as you read your Bible, as you study, if you're a history buff and you study Roman history, you'll see these same guys popping up in Roman history. It helps you keep them in line, keep them sorted out in your mind. So there's the history lesson. Now, one other thing I wanted to do today is talk about the wise men, these wise men who came over. Because when you look at the Roman rulers, with all of the powers conferred upon them by the Roman government at the time, and this was the height of the power of the Roman civilization, if you'd ask today the average person on the street to tell you something about the Roman rulers of that time, I'll bet you 1 out of 100 could not tell you anything about the guys I just mentioned to you. But I bet you almost all of them could tell you about the wise men. Oh, yes. They're the guys who came from the east and they brought gifts to the baby Jesus. What is it about these wise men that today makes them more popular than the king that they went to see in the King Herod? People know more about the wise men today than they do about King Herod. What is it about them that made such an impact on the history of the world? If you think about it, these three wise men are the most popular people in the world that we don't know their names. Do you know anybody more popular in the world that you don't know his name? You don't. It's strange, but yet these guys are very well known. They're popular. Now, some people have guessed at their names, and I've heard them before. I don't even know what they are right now, but it's not important. The thing that makes the wise men important in our history today is not who they were, but what they were doing. And what these wise men were doing was very simple. They were worshiping God. They got some kind of a sign, and I think it was passed down from the prophet Daniel hundreds of years earlier, that this day was going to come, and they were looking in the heavens for the sign, and God gave them their sign, and they came to worship Jesus. That was their only goal. That's all they wanted to do. They weren't trying to make a big deal about anything. They were just searching for the Christ, and they found him. And what they did by their actions rocked the Roman world. It rocked King Herod. It totally kept him up at night, kept him from sleeping, wondering what would happen. It changed the history just by what they did. It was very simple, that they shook the throne of Herod the Great just by worshiping Jesus. And here's the interesting thing about it to me. When they went back to the east, They probably never knew the impact of what they did. They probably never heard what happened. You know, they didn't have telephones back then. So they went all the way back to Persia. They probably never knew the impact that they would have had, that their story would have been told for the next 2,000 years. They didn't know. They just went back. So how does that relate to us today? Well, during this holiday season, I want you all to remember that the impact that the wise men's lives had, and yet they never did it, and how it relates to us. Our lives could have a tremendous impact on others, and we not know about it. In fact, I would venture to say that our lives do have a huge impact on a lot more people than we realize. But we just don't know about it. Why? Because we're just going about our business. We're serving the Lord as best we can, and whatever talents God has given us, we're trying to use those talents to advance the kingdom of God. But we don't know the impact that it's going to have on other people around us. So my challenge to you is keep on doing what you're doing and realize that someday we're all going to get to heaven, and then we will realize the impact of our efforts here on earth. We get to meet the wise men. We get to share with them the impact they had on our lives, which is going to blow them away. And there's going to be people who are going to share with us the impact we have had on their lives, and it's going to blow us away. We don't see it right now, but I'm just saying the picture of the wise men ought to tell you some of the great surprises we have in store for us in heaven, in the future, when we, like the wise men, will see the value of our simple service and our worship of the Lord. And I believe it'll have a much greater, we will see that it'll have a much greater impact than all the visible world leaders that are doing things in the name of mankind today. Our efforts are going to have a greater impact on the world than even they have. So that's kind of my Christmas message for you. I hope that you will be encouraged and to live your life using the talents that God has given you in such a way that you will have impact on people that you can't even imagine, don't even know it, but it will be a blessing on so many people. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you for this special Christmas Eve service, Lord, and as we look at the two characters in this Christmas story, the king who thought he was so important and thought he had such great power and he would be such a have such long-standing memory. And we have three guys who didn't even bother telling people their names. They just were there to worship you, and how their impact has had a greater influence on history than King Herod has. And Lord, I pray that we would not be discouraged when we think our lives don't matter, or we think that the things we do are insignificant, that we would remember, like the wise men, that anything we do in your name will have profound, long-standing consequences, and we will be blessed every time we do something in your name, and others will be blessed too, even if we don't see it. So I pray we would have a joyous remainder of the Christmas season here, and as we go through this next week, going into New Year's, Lord, we'll just be mindful of the blessings that you have shared on us and the power of what we can do just by living for you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.